Millions of families live in the bondage of big government tyranny, in the enslaving grip of debt, in the bonds of institutionalized education. One family out in the eastern plains of Colorado is breaking free. Here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. So's Dave Buter, by the way, in studio with me today. We're broadcasting from my basement out here in Elbert County, Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. And talking about the demise of Western civilization, here's a story. Evangelicals frustrated by Obama's gay pride decree. I believe this is Baptist Press. But they're upset about the fact that Obama is celebrating homosexuality in this decree. President Obama Monday named June as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month, issuing a proclamation that goes even further than those of former President Clinton in its pro-homosexuality slant. So they're upset about the homosexual thing. Let me just say from the outset, Dave, I've got not one problem, but I've got two problems with President Obama celebrating the Gay Pride Month. Okay, I got two problems with it. I got a problem with the gay part of it. That's homosexuality. That's one abomination. And then I've got a problem with the other abomination, and that would be
pride?
Pride, yeah, exactly.
This is a BOGO. Buy one, get one.
This is a BOGO. Proverbs chapter 6 calls a proud look one of the seven abominations that really turns God off. So you've got that pride issue. So number one, you've got these homosexuals celebrating their pride. They're evidently very proud about themselves or about something about themselves. And then you have the problem of homosexuality because that's the other abomination. Dave, you remember Leviticus chapter 18. I think we've referred to that verse before.
Yes.
Two men lying together.
Two men, three men, four men, two women,
right.
A dog, a cat,
right.
You know.
Right. It's an abomination. The two of them shall be put to death. So again, if we're going with what the Word of God says, we've got two problems here. Now, Proverbs 28 and verse 4 says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Dave, I don't see Obama contending with the pride issue or the homosexual issue here in his declaration. Here he's got the LGBT rights movement has achieved great progress, but there's much more work to be done. During LGBT Pride Month, I call upon the LGBT community, the Congress, and the American people to work together to promote equal rights for all, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim June 20, 2009 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. Dave, as I read this, I'm wondering if Madison, Washington, and the others really intended for that authority of the President of the United States be endowed with the ability to celebrate June as Gay Pride Month. I just somehow don't see it with Thomas Jefferson either, for that matter.
No, you wonder if we're going to have a Rapist and Murderers Pride Month.
Yeah. Maybe we should do the Rapist Pride Month. And again, I would have two problems with that, Dave. I have a problem with the raping, and I have a problem with the pride. So, you know, equal opportunity criticism here on the Generations Radio Broadcast.
It could be festive. They could have a parade and then lots of bands and stuff, and the president could make a proclamation. We could tout how we shouldn't discriminate against those people who are rapists or murderers or chainsaw massacre murderers. You know, we could really get into that whole equal opportunity,
well,
the 14th Amendment there.
He's adding to it. And this is what makes the evangelicals upset in this Baptist Press article, Dave. They're upset because Clinton had only two elements to this. It was the Lesbian Gay Pride Month. But now we're adding to the list of abominations here. Obama is adding to the abominations. He's got Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. So maybe in 4 years, you know, maybe
not
he gets
reelected.
You could add the bestiophiles. You could add the pedophiles. You could add the Max Axe murders. So it would be President Obama Monday named June as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Axe Murderer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Pride Month.
Why don't we just call it Pride Month?
Well, there you go. We could be proud that we could be the autonomous Proud Month. We're a law to ourselves, and we do whatever we want. Thank you very much. God, take off. We're just being Proud Month.
Well, yeah, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? It'd be horrible. I know a lot of people get excited about things like Black History Month, but Abomination Month, I might just go to sleep for the month of June.
I'm a little uptight about it, too, because June is my birthday month.
Oh.
So it was kind of a Kevin month for a long time, but now it's the axe murder homosexual month. So.
Birthday. It's not birth month. It's birthday.
We celebrate it for the whole month, Dave. All right. So in the proclamation, Obama says he's proud to be the first president. We got another problem. Again, I got another problem. He's got a pride issue, obviously. Obama says he's proud to be the first president to appoint openly LGBT candidates to Senate-confirmed positions to the first 100 days of his administration. So another win for the homosexuals, I guess. Also, Richard Land comments on how he and other religious leaders met with former President George H.W. Bush and complained about Bush becoming the first president to invite representatives of homosexual organizations to the White House. We've come a long way, Land said, emphasizing it has not been for the better. Those of us who believe in the continuing truth of God's revealed word in Scripture would not consider the distance traveled between the issue in our meeting with President George H.W. Bush and President Obama's proclamation as progress, but a further sign of the moral and spiritual deterioration of our culture. And Dave, I have to agree with Richard Land from the Southern Baptists here. He's dead right. Our nation is abandoned the laws of God.
He's dead right, and I say soon, the Christians will be the dead ones. The Bible says you got a stone. The civil magistrate should stone the homosexuals because it destroys a society, and God destroys towns, cultures, certainly Sodom and Gomorrah for that sin, but wherever it becomes prevalent, the culture dies. That's why the Bible says you're to stone the homosexual for the abomination, but the way we're going, we are going to stone or execute those who oppose it. So you see, Richard Land is dead right. He'll be right, and he may get stoned.
Well, yeah, persecution could very well come our way because they don't like us talking about things like this. And Dave, as it turns out, there's really no neutrality, and maybe this is the real issue we need to get down to on this edition of Generations. There is no neutrality, ladies and gentlemen. There is good and there is evil. The problem is those who are evil typically call the good guys evil, and typically the good guys call the evil guys evil, so nobody really knows who the evil guys are or who the good guys are, unless you actually have an eternal standard you go back to. And we actually go back to the standard of the Word of God. Now, I'm not exactly sure what standard Obama uses for his standard of law. In a recent speech he gave to a bunch of Muslims, he quoted the Holy Quran. I mean, not the Holy Bible. Apparently the Quran is holy for him, and he believes in the Holy Quran, and the Holy Quran, he says, teaches that whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he has killed all mankind, and whoever saves a person is as if he has saved all mankind. I think it's sort of ironic, Dave, that he quotes the Surah 532, but omits the next verse, the 33rd verse of the Surah 5, where it says, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his messenger and strive with might and main for mischief through the land is execution or crucifixion or the cutting off of hands and feet from the opposite sides or exile from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and a heavy punishment is theirs in the hereafter. So, you know, he's, I guess, a little specific. I'm not sure if he believes that the Quran is his source of law or not. Now, if he believes this is his source of law, then he's going to have to say that anybody who opposes Allah or does any mischief in the land will be executed, crucified, or lose his hands. And this is the sort of things the Muslims do, I understand.
Well, that is Sharia law. That's how come Islam can be a religion of peace, because if you oppose it, you're dead.
And it's so ironic that he quotes 32, verse 32, and omits the very next verse as he reads the Surah in this particular speech.
Well, it may be ironic, or it may be a message to the Islam world, which he's talking, which would have been very familiar with the very next verse.
Well, and as you just said, the U.S. is one of the largest Muslim countries in the world. I didn't really know that, but I guess that's the goal.
No, you misunderstand. If you only count the 50 states, we don't have that many Muslims. But, of course, Barack counts all 57 states.
Ooh. That's right. During the run for president, I guess he did mention the 57 states. Yeah. Okay. Which would be the other seven
Muslim states.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what's the law system? What are you going to use as your law system? And it's apparent to me that Barack Obama appreciates the Muslim law system from the Quran, and he quotes from the Quran for his law system. I'm not sure how consistent he is. Dave, you know, when he quotes the one but not the other verse, I wonder if he's signaling to his Muslim friends that they sure can go ahead and perform whatever is said in Surah 533.
Well, he better be careful, because it turns out that Muslims don't have a very high view of gay, lesbian, transgendered pride.
Yeah. It's true. A lot of inconsistency here. And so I guess we got to conclude that. Who is this guy? I'm not sure. I guess he's part Muslim, part humanist, part pro-homosexual, part pro-abortion, part whatever happens to be popular at the time. And Dave, if this isn't the modern pluralistic, polytheistic way of looking at life, I don't know what is. So, you know, Dave, you've only got three options in life. You could be a monotheist, a polytheist, or an atheist. And you can't be all three at the same time.
Well, Barack is whoever the teleprompter tells Barack he is.
Okay. We'll be back in just a moment with more on this edition of Generation. Stay with us, folks. This is Kevin Swanson.
There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. More of Generations in a moment.
Generations of Knowing Him is the theme for the Christian Family Conference coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 18 to 20, featuring 70 workshops, an exhibit hall with curriculum from over 200 vendors, and speakers including Bill Jack, Kevin Swanson, and Little Bear Wheeler. Come to the 25th Annual Christian Family Conference at the Denver Merchandise Mart June 18 to 20, presented by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Register online at check.org. That's check.org.
And welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast today, talking about the worldviews of Barack Hussein Obama, the President of the United States. And just trying to nail it down today, this edition of Generations. Obviously, it's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, and pro-Muslim. How can you be pro all that at the same time? Dave, I think what happens is that you tend to have statists who attract each other. Muslims are statists as communists are statists. I mean, Barack Obama has profess to be a Marxist. He likes the redistribution of the wealth. And in one interview he did on a Chicago radio station, he did say that he would like to see that redistribution of the wealth be a principle contained in the Constitution of the United States. So, you know, you got a guy here who really does believe in Marxism, but he also believes in the Muslim religion. And I think, Dave, you tend to have these statists attracted to each other. Muslims are statists. That is their religion. They are a statist religion. And if they cannot achieve civil control over a landmass, they have not achieved their religion in that particular area. So in order for their religion to succeed, they have got to achieve status control over the populace. That's basic to the Muslim worldview. So I think we have to acknowledge that our president is both Muslim and communist, because at root he is humanistic and statistic.
Well, communism and Islam have a lot in common. You said they're both statistic. Neither one of them will allow detractors within their midst. They both will stomp out the detractors. Communism does it in a very cruel way. Islam does it in a very cruel way.
Yeah, I mean, look at the nations that persecute Christians. Look at the number of people who've been killed for their Christian faith around the country, around the world. You're going to find it's going to be what? I mean, obvious, no-brainer. Soviet Union, China, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and these is where people get killed for believing in the Christian faith, believing in freedom, believing that if the sun will set you free, you will be free indeed, believing in the Word of God and the Bible. See, if you believe the Bible, you're going to be persecuted, and you're probably not going to have a lot of freedom. Think about the armpits around the world, places where there's such an abridgment of freedom, you can hardly breathe. Where is it? Obviously, communist country and Muslim countries. Who wants to live there? There are armpits. There are pits of the world. Who wants to go and live in some place where you got communists and Muslims ruling? Well, that's precisely the worldview that Barack Hussein Obama runs around talking about all day long.
And of course, it's double trouble if you have Muslim communists ruling that country. They're both. They're both those things. Other things that the Muslims and the communists have in common, they're both seeking world domination. The communist worldview says it really won't turn into their utopia until the whole world becomes communist. Well, that's exactly what the Muslims are trying to do as well.
Yeah, and you talk about tyranny, Dave. I mean, the way that Muslims treat women, it's unbelievable. Surah 2:228 says men are a degree above women. And by the way, the Word of God never says that. Never says that. Understands different roles for men and women, but never, ever, ever says that men are a degree above women in any sense. Doesn't say that. Now, it allows for different roles, yes, but it doesn't say that men and women are different. Essentially, in a biblical worldview, men and women are equal, and yet they have different roles as defined in a biblical social theory. Also, Surah 4:34 says, those wives on whose part you fear desertion, it tells husbands, beat them. Beat them. Okay, so again, you've got the Quran, the Holy Quran, tells husbands to go out and beat your wives. Go out and beat them. I don't know how they beat them. They beat them with big sticks, little sticks, beat them with their hands. I don't know, but they're supposed to beat them. Well, you don't read that in the Word of God anywhere. You don't read that in the Bible anywhere. See, you got tyrants here. You got these little tyrannies that are developed out of the Muslim worldview. And Dave, as you well know, the Muslim worldview tends to develop tyrannies either on the local level in little fiefdoms or on the massive level in these large nation states like the Saudi Arabia or Iran. These are horrible places to live. They curtail all sorts of liberty.
They curtail all sorts of liberty, and it's really bad if you're a woman. There, you cannot call the police on a domestic violence charge. They say, well, you had it coming. Yeah. And a woman cannot be as a man as a witness before the court. She's not trusted the same as a man. There has to be more. Look, Islam, and it should be obvious to everybody listening, everywhere Islam has gone, it's destroyed culture. They leave behind it ruinous buildings, a culture deprived of music, of art, of technology. The technology that's out there in the Muslim world right now is taken or borrowed from the West. And the same thing with communism. You know, communism doesn't really have a high culture. They can put a lot of resources for a short period of time into things like their sports programs or into the ballet. But by and large, the whole culture of a nation decays.
Oh, they take places like North Africa and Turkey and even parts of Europe, and they borrow from all that Christian capital that was saved up by means of the Christian worldview that worked its way out over centuries, and they take over. And once the Muslims take over, they don't develop culture. Culture becomes static and eventually, of course, degrades to the point where you see Turkey and North Africa today, some of the most horrible armpits in the entire world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a Christian worldview, I think, is essential, and we've got to continue to argue for a Christian worldview. That's what we're trying to do on this radio program. But you've got a communist worldview, a socialist worldview, humanist worldviews, and Muslim worldviews, which virtually dominate our world today, and that's how we elected the president that we did. But, Dave, you know, I think what happens in our nation is basically a reflection of the old statement from Benjamin Franklin, who said, either you be governed by God, and he meant the God of the Bible, either you be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed. Either you'll be governed by the laws of God, or you're going to wind up getting tyrannized. And this is precisely what's happening in our nation today, Dave. As long as you have government encouraging immorality, which is precisely what our president does with the LGBT Pride Month, Dave, he's celebrating immorality. He's doing everything he can to promote immorality because he knows that either we'll be governed by God or by God we'll be governed. Either we'll be a moral nation or we'll be tyrannized. And this man loves tyranny. He talks about Marxism. He talks about the Muslim religion. He loves tyranny. And he's bringing more and more centralized government and centralized government control over our economy, even as we speak right now in our country. And so, Dave, you've got a guy who is working really hard to bring an immoral agenda to the nation while he brings the bonds of slavery, or these government, big government slavery, to this country. And this pattern, I think, has really a continuation of what's been happening for the last 100 years or so. But it's really coming to fruition right now, if you think about it.
Well, and it's coming very, very fast. It's coming incredibly fast. People were not allowed not to take the TARP money, and the TARP money, of course, came with strings attached. So guess what? You had to put on the bondage of a big government. The General Motors takeover, another example. This is communism when government controls the means of production and controls the production. There was, in concert with that, some of the dealerships had to be closed in order for this new financial model. Guess who get to decide the winners and the losers? It was the government. It was Barack Obama's plan. It looks like some of the dealerships who should have survived, on, if you used business sense, are not making the cut because they were donating to the other side. I'm reminded of the prophet Joel, and he talks in the first chapter about what the flying locust didn't eat, the chewing locust eat, and what the chewing locust didn't eat, the crawling locust eat. This is Islam. This is humanism. This is what's coming, folks. Every vestige of the Christian worldview that brought so much prosperity, so much liberty, it's being destroyed because a plague of locusts is coming to this land.
No, it's because we've abandoned God and His Word, and we don't want to preach it. We don't want to live it. And I think that's the end result. And Dave, here's a local example of the sort of tyranny we're talking about. And this kind of stuff is going to happen all over the place. Here, this is from Grants Pass, Oregon, where my father lives. This is an AP story. County orders elderly couple out. It's not an RV to us. It's our home, they said. A couple must move from their rental property by the end of the month because the fifth wheel trailer they've been living in isn't considered a legal dwelling by Josephine County. Phil and Mary Klatt think they should be able to continue to live in their recreational vehicle on the land because they aren't harming anyone. Both Klatts are in their 60s and have heart problems. On a fixed income, they pay $300 each month for rent. Now, here's two very, very poor elderly people being kicked off this property. Now, they've been renting the property, but the landlord has to kick them out because the county code has been violated, I guess, because an RV is not considered a permanent residence. Well, this is the kind of tyranny we're talking about. They're not hurting anybody. This is a proper buy-sell relationship here. And according to biblical law, they're doing nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. But you have local tyrants that are taking up the whole tyranny agenda and bringing this kind of tyranny to our country.
And so what's the alternative? Are they going to be homeless?
Oh, yeah.
They live under a bridge. Will that become a permanent dwelling?
Yeah, probably the permanent dwelling for them, and so that doesn't solve any problems. Dave, of course, the problem being that people don't want to respect the property rights of people who actually buy property and use that property. Of course, the state doesn't consider that your property anymore because of property taxation. And if you're paying property taxation, the state considers that property theirs, and of course, we have the eminent domain laws that ultimately allow the state to do whatever they want with your property. So we gave up property rights many, many years ago in this country, and it is affecting the poor people, like this poor Klatt family out in Grants Pass, Oregon.
And this has been coming for years. I think back to when government confiscated gold bullion. Why did they confiscate gold bullion? Because they wanted to and because they had the guns. Why can they kick these people out of the trailer? Because they want to and they have the guns. I wonder if they could satisfy the county if they just moved that trailer once a month to a different spot.
The reason they do it is because they ignore biblical law. They will not submit themselves to biblical law. It's hard to find any Christians, actually, Dave. It would be nice to run into Christians here and there, actually acknowledge biblical law as the standard for the civil government. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says the civil government has the right to confiscate land because somebody has the wrong kind of dwelling. He put a tent on it instead of a permanent dwelling. Nothing in the Word of God that says the state has that kind of power. I mean, give me a break. And again, we're not using the libertarian line. We're not using the anarchical line. We're using the biblical line. This is what we've got to do, my friends, if we're going to get back to a proper concept of liberty. Liberty has got to be defined by the laws of God. Why? Because God is the one who defines liberty, and maximum liberty comes by means of the laws of God. The Son will make you free. You will be free indeed. How? By living His law system, by living the way God wants you to live, according to the dictates of the Word of God. Well, Dave, we're about ready to wrap up the program here, and we got some lightning and thunder here outside of our studio windows. God exists. God should be feared. God should be worshipped. God should be obeyed. And I think this is the fundamental problem with the nation. I mean, if we can't even get Christians to acknowledge the laws of God, submit themselves to the laws of God, we can't get Christian churches to teach the standards of God's laws that you find in Exodus 22 and Deuteronomy and Proverbs and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Ephesians, and so forth. If we can't get the churches to teach these sorts of things, there is no way liberty will ever survive in this nation.
Well, I think that's why Psalm 2 makes it very plain when it says, "Now, therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear." Serve the Lord with fear, it says. I would so love if we had some civil magistrates who feared the Lord.
Yeah, kiss the Son, lest ye be angry, and ye perish from the way. If his anger is kindled but a little, says Psalm 2. That's a powerful, powerful passage. And God is still in the heavens, friends. The God is behind the lightning and the thunder, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who sent the flood to destroy a world on purpose because that world defied his law and engaged in great acts of horrific violence upon the earth. The God who said, "Hey, I'm going to pull the plug on this thing and send a flood to this world," is the God who can come back and judge this nation. Now, he tends to judge nation by nation. He doesn't judge the whole world at one time. And we have seen these local judgments occur from the beginning of time, Dave, all the way from Sodom and Gomorrah, taking the brimstone from heaven. I mean, that sort of thing can happen here. And our economic failures, our political failures, can be a punishment from God for us ignoring his laws. Well, folks, you need to get a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower. The cover says it all. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And that, my friends, has got to be the lesson that we teach our children. I mean, it is chaos out there as anarchy and tyranny continues to grow. If you want your children firmly grounded on a biblical worldview and biblical truth and eternal truth, and the truth of God's word, in the laws of God, that they might know their law, their morality, their ethics, then you need to teach them God's word. As you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down, you need to give them a vision for what I call the second Mayflower. Why? Because we had founders of this nation who really had this kind of a vision. They took their first law codes from the word of God itself. And they ran this nation that way for the first 50 or 60 years until the British government came back and said, hey, what are you guys doing? We're taking over again. This nation was founded on the principles of God's word. Let's do it one more time. And I think we can do it. Why? Because it's been done before. Why? Because there is a God in the heavens who rewards his people if they set out to do his will. So I think we can do it one more time. That's why I wrote the book, The Second Mayflower. And you can grab a copy at my website, kevinswanson.com. I encourage you to visit our website right now at kevinswanson.com and grab your copy of The Second Mayflower. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
You've been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This program is supported entirely by donations from our listening audience. We need $120 to keep this radio program airing on this station. We want to encourage you to support the program and keep Generations on the air by visiting kevinswanson.com and click on Donate Today. Thank you.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations Radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income and a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com.